Hebrews 13 tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, and just going to read one verse. Hebrews 13, just remain seated tonight. I'm just going to read this one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Obey then, verse 17, excuse me, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us tonight. I pray that you would be honored and glorified, that Jesus would be indeed preeminent in this message, in our hearts and our minds. I thank you, Lord, for the Bible, for your Holy Spirit. I pray for your Holy Spirit fullness tonight in everything that I say and all my thoughts, Lord. A difficult topic, Lord, not a popular, fun, exciting topic, but Father, it is right here in the Bible and it's next in our series. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to desire your glory and desire, Lord, a better church to bring you more glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If I were to ask you the biggest problem in our world today, what would you say? If I were to ask you, if you could just, in one word, okay? Not even one sentence, but one word. I heard of it, this is off the, I was reading a book, that's what it was, of a preacher who, when he would deal with people that would come down to the altar for, at the altar call for salvation, and he would deal with them trying to figure out their spiritual condition, he would ask them, okay, in one sentence, describe to me how a person gets saved. But that's pretty, think about that. If you had one sentence, now not a run-on sentence like the Apostle Paul, right? Some of his sentences are four or five verses long. But in one sentence, the pastor would ask the person, in one sentence, you explain to me how a person gets saved. And that's a good thought. That's something for you guys to remember, you altar workers dealing with adults, because if a person can't tell you in one sentence, one of two things. They're either not saved or they don't understand how they got saved. Okay? And either way, they need help. But, okay? But I'm asking you tonight, in one word, what is the best word you can think of that would describe probably the greatest problem in our world today? Our world. What's that? Sort of. What's that? Okay. Commitment. Surrender. Yep. Accepting. Yeah. Authority. Yeah. And all of those are true. You're all like, if it was a dartboard, you're all right around the bullseye. Rebellion, right. Commitment, because you don't want to, being accepting and not accountable. Authority, submission, it's rebellion. Rebellion is defined in this way. It's refusal to submit to authority. So you all said it. Refusing to submit to authority. Now it happens, it's a plague in our society today. Right. It's a plague in homes. It's a plague in jobs and at the workplace. It's a very bad problem that we have all over the world, really, but America especially. But let me tell you, it is indeed sometimes can be a big problem in church as well. Right. In churches. Our verse tonight tells us indeed what God thinks about this. Amen. How God feels about this problem. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now, Notice here, one thing I want to pull out real fast, and again, I'm going to do a lot of teaching tonight because I don't want anybody to misunderstand the point of this lesson. The point of this lesson, this message, this sermon, whatever you want to call it, the point of this service tonight, again, is to help us understand how we can have a better church so that we can better glorify God. Okay? We're all involved in this thing, but notice number one, quickly, just by way of introduction, the church has to have human leadership.
Amen.
Human leadership. Yes, Jesus is the head of the church. I know that. There is also, however, a human ruler, in this case, an authority, according to this verse and some other verses we'll look at here briefly. Let me look at some key words in this verse real quick and so we can understand, maybe to avoid any and all confusion here. The first word I want to look at is this little word, obey. Amen. And that is almost has become a four-letter word in our society. Amen. Almost like a curse word. Obey. Now, the word obey in this context, and really in all contexts, is to agree with your authority and to go along with them. To agree with your authority and to go along with them. Listen, it's not do as you're told, because I can do as I'm told, listen, without submitting.
Right. Yeah.
I can do as I'm told without a right attitude.
Right.
I can do as I'm told while I'm murmuring and grumbling and complaining.
Right.
And that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness many times. So the word obey is not, listen, don't get it, if you want to write it down, but it is to agree with and to go along with because you agree with it. It's not just, hey, do what I tell you or else. That's lording over, and we'll get to that in a minute. Obeying here is to agree with and to go along with it. It says here, obey them that have the rule. Now that word rule is scary. It sounds scary. No one's going to rule over me. And listen, all it means is to lead.
Right.
It means to lead. It means to have official authority, again, by given to them by someone else to lead. You see, you understand, no one has authority that's not been given to them.
Yep.
Otherwise, they're usurping authority.
Right.
Okay, a police officer has the authority to pull you over, to, you know, to give you a ticket, to arrest you, to scare you to death. Authority, right? A lot of stories there, amen. I remember one time when Samuel was a little kid, but I won't tell you that story. You'll have to ask him later. Ask him later. I don't have time for that. But that is authority that's given to him by the mayor. Right? Someone in authority has made him. He had to go through school. He had to test and prove himself to be worthy of that authority. And then that authority was given to him. Amen. And then now he's authority over you and me as citizens of the city of Denton. But that authority is not. However, now listen, if I go out and buy me a police officer uniform, and I find me a nice little badge, and I make myself look like a City of Denton police officer, which, you know, I could do that. That is highly illegal. That is a federal offense because I am impersonating an officer of the law, right? You've heard of that. So why is that such a big deal? Because I am usurping authority that I have not been given. Nobody's given me that authority. I can't go around telling people, hey, this is wrong. I can't go around giving people tickets, and you understand. So authority, listen to me, rule over you is authority that's been given to a person in a position of authority, okay? Your boss at work. Amen. He's earned that, or either through school and college, or just coming up through the ranks. He's earned that position of authority. Somehow, someone has given him that position, and it goes on and on. Hey, listen, parents, God gave you the authority over your children.
Amen.
Right? Children, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. You see, that's God giving your parents authority over you. So authority is not something that is something that I can just take upon myself. The rule that is simply to lead using the authority that someone else has given me, meaning that I'm not on my own, amen. I have authority myself. I have someone that I answer to myself. Okay? Now, another word of this verse that we need to get to is submit. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Wow. That word is, again, a bad word many times. It simply means to yield. Okay? To yield. Listen, let me read. Don't miss this phrase. You yield not because you can't lead, but because it isn't your place to lead. Let me say that again. You yield, you submit to leadership, not because you can't lead, but because it's not your place to lead. It's not been given you you have not been given the authority to lead. So those are three: obey, rule, and submit. Okay? So in this verse, like I said, parents, children, bosses, employees, and in a church, it's a pastor and a congregation. Now listen, two very distinct people are listed here in this verse. There's a leader and there's followers. There's leader and followers. And I'm going to look at two things tonight, just kind of as a Bible study. We're talking about being a better church. We're going to look at two things about these people, leaders and followers. I'm going to look at, first of all, investments. Now, I'm not talking about money, okay? When you hear the word investments, you automatically go to the stock market and things like that. Hold on now, okay? This is not Wall Street.
Amen.
Okay? I'm talking about investments and returns. You understand something? In a church family, in a church setting like this, we are all investing or not investing in each other.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot more to investing than money. Okay? There's a lot more to investing than money. I want to talk about, first of all, the investments of the leader. Number one, quickly, a leader must rule well over the house. Okay? Must rule well. That's his responsibility as a God-given authority to rule well over his house. Now, hold your place here, but look with me in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, just a few books back. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4. Again, I don't have time to read all of this, but it says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying if a man desire the office of a bishop. Okay? So we're talking about a human here, a human leader. The office of a bishop is an overseer or pastor or elder. But in verse 4 says he has to be one that ruleth well.
Yep.
His own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for a man, in verse 5, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So a leader is investing, he's investing in the people that he's leading by ruling well over them. In other words, it's not something that can be taken lightly. It's not something that can be just treated carelessly. It's not something that can be taken for granted. It's something that needs to be done. Notice, it's something that is proven. God even proves it. A person proves it in his own house and before he's ever going to rule in the house of God. So it's an investment, though. Remember, the man that God has chosen to rule over his house is because he's investing, God's investing in that man, and that man's investing in ruling well over the house of God. Okay, so number one investment, the leader needs to rule well over the house of God. Number two investment, the leader in Hebrews 13, go back over there real quick, we'll flip back and forth. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So he must rule well over the house of God, but also, number two, he must rightly watch over the flock.
Amen.
Now, if you're not familiar with that word watch, it says here, they watch for your souls. It means, listen now, it means to stay awake. It literally means to lose sleep in exchange for prayer.
Amen.
That's what it means.
Amen.
Now, you see, this is an investment that the leader is willing to make in the followers. This will more than likely never apply, Max, to your boss, okay? Sorry. Or your boss, Brother Josh, or anybody else's boss for that matter. Okay? But in a godly home, this should definitely apply to the parents. In a church that's right, this should definitely apply to the pastor. A pastor watching over his flock, watching, staying awake, losing sleep in order to pray for the people that he's overseeing. That is, again, that is an investment that the leader makes. That's an investment that the man of God, that God puts in place, or the parents, whatever the situation may be. But he needs to rule well over the house of God. He needs to rightly watch over the flock. He needs to readily work to feed the flock. Okay, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. These are all investments now. I'm getting to you in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5, stay with me. Chapter 5, verse 1. We're talking about having a better church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, another word for bishop, another word for ruler, another word for pastor, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says here in verse 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So he's to readily work to feed the flock. The investment that's made right now that I am making in you. Listen, I am investing myself, my time, my voice, my strength, my heart, I'm investing in you right now in preaching this message. Amen. Because I'm trying to invest in you so that you can be more instructed and more trained and more edified and more understanding of the will of God.
Amen.
I've already studied all this.
Amen.
God's already given me all of this. But right now, see, I am investing in feeding you. Amen. I'm investing in working to study, working to prepare, trying to organize these thoughts. Amen. And trying to keep them and present them in a manner that's logical and easy to understand and reasonable. And so I'm working to feed the flock. Notice in verse 2. Feed the flock of God. Understand something. This is God's plan.
Amen.
This is God's flock. I understand that. But this is God's method. This is God's way of feeding his sheep.
Amen.
He came to, Jesus came to Peter on the shores of Galilee that morning after Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he stayed all night and caught nothing. And he came back and he said, here, why don't you come over here and come and dine with me, Peter? I've got some fish already over here. By the way, where'd those fish come from? Well, Jesus was over fishing on the other side. They were fishing. No. He made the fish. Amen. They were there because he put them there. But the point, here's the point. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, okay, well, go feed my lambs. Now, why didn't Jesus just go feed his own lambs? Well, because he chose to use Peter.
Amen.
Amen? By the way, not the first pope either. Amen. For one thing, Peter had a wife because Peter had a mother-in-law. And only a fool would have a mother-in-law without having a wife. Amen. I've already said that 100 times. But anyway, Peter was not the first pope. Peter was a man of God, chosen by God, amen, preaching the gospel. He was, but the point was, Jesus, God has chosen this method of using a human vessel to feed his flock. His flock. Understand something, it takes work. But listen, if you're going to grow, now don't miss this. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to do it God's way.
Right.
People who say, well, I don't need to go to church, you're not going to grow. Because this is God's method, this is God's plan, this is the way that God has laid it out in the New Testament local church, amen. The body of Christ is to be fed by a human being, the Word of God. That's the way God has chosen to grow you. Because if you don't eat, you don't grow, you lose strength, you wither and you die, which is pretty much 99% of America. So I am a leader, yes, but I am investing in you. I'm investing in ruling well over the flock of God. I'm investing in rightly watching for you. And you can ask my parents. Well, no, you can't ask my parents. You can ask my family, amen. If there's ever a night where I stay up later than everybody else and get up long before anybody else. And listen, because I'm investing.
Right.
I'm investing in them and in you. It's an investment that we're making. I'm ruling well over the house of God. All I'm doing is I'm not taking it lightly. I can't treat it lightly. I'm not out on the golf course, amen, all day long. I'm not out playing games all day long. I'm not on my phone, you know, whatever the people are doing nowadays. Man, I talk to some pastors, and they've got so many, this account and that account and this account. I'm thinking, when do you ever do anything for your people? When do you ever do anything for God? Amen. I mean, you know, nowadays we don't really need to do a whole lot of work because we can just get on the internet and get all kinds of sermons we need. That ain't but that ain't God's way.
Amen.
That's not God's way. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that I'm everything that I need to be. And I'm going to get to here in a minute, but understand something. I am investing when I do what God tells me to do in you. I'm investing to rule well over you, to not take it lightly, to rightly watch for you in prayer, to readily work so I can feed you food that's nourishing and helpful, and not, you know, not a 3-minute microwave.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, amen. Now, here we go. Investing. I'm trying to hurry here. All kinds of illustrations are coming to my mind. I think about being a single man, or I think about how you know, ramen noodles will never make you healthy. Amen. I think about how Whataburger will never strengthen your body like a good home cooked meal. Amen. But I'm hurrying. I hasten here. Anyway, so the leader investing in people, readily working to feed the flock. Notice also here in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. In other words, not a hireling, but a shepherd. Not because somebody's making you. Not for money. It says here, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I've got to remain willing in the work. I've got to remain willing to do what God wants me to do. It's a calling that God places on my life as a leader, a human leader of His flock. It's something that I'm investing in, though, listen, willing to continue lead you and teach you and feed you and watch over you and work and to feed you. I've got to remain willing. I've got to also next retain an exemplary walk. Look what it says in verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples. That means to be an example to the flock. God, listen, God is Lord over the flock.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. God is Lord over the heritage. God is Lord over His people. I am not. That is a heresy, okay? That's heresy. There's no human Lord over God's heritage, but there is, listen to me, a human sinner saved by grace that God puts as an example.
Right.
Now, again, I told you that rebellion is probably, in churches anyway, but if not the top problem in our world, it's certainly in the top three. It's because, listen, people do not understand, hey, that God, listen, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God investing in Adam and Eve. God investing in two people who did not appreciate it. But he did, but listen, but he did everything he could. He gave them everything he could possibly give them. He wasn't a sinner. Amen. He's God. But his example of investing in you and me through sending Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And then he takes a sinner, saved by the grace of God, and he says, now I'm going to prove you faithful, and then I'm going to turn you around, and I'm going to, you learn from me by investing in you. Now I want you to invest in other people, and I want you to give yourself to help the church of God go forward. And listen, it's not something that is chosen necessarily by man. It's a calling of God. It's an investment that a man puts into his church. The investments. Now, I want to talk about the investments of the followers. I remember I told you we're all in this together. I'm investing in you. You should be investing as well. Okay?
Amen.
Number one, obviously, if you go back to Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Again, this goes back to children in a home. This goes back to the people, members of a church. Number one is to submit to biblical leadership.
Right.
To submit to biblical leadership. Again, the word obey and submit, it just simply means to agree with and to go along with and to yield your will to the leadership that God's placed in your life. Ladies, it goes for your husband and you. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And then there's supposed to be, obviously, children and their parents. Amen. I talked about a congregation and their church. The pastor, listen, understand it says submit yourselves. It's not my job to make anybody submit.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes yeah, I feel like but then I realize, Lord, that is not my job. I'm not here to try to make anybody submit to anything.
Right.
I'm here, like the Bible said, to feed,
right,
to invest in you, to hopefully take some of the Word of God and help you understand, hey, more about the Lord and more about His grace and more about His mercy and more about His will for your life and more about the way He works. But then you have to submit yourself to the leadership.
That's right.
That's an investment that you're making, listen, in yourself. In yourself.
Amen.
It's an investment that you're making in your future. In your future. Now, again, it's not something that the pastor cannot twist your arm. You have to submit to biblical authority, biblical leadership yourself. You need to, number two, if you're going to make an investment, wise investments, amen. You need to, now listen, you need to show honor to biblical leadership. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, quickly. Okay, everybody's fine up to this point. Okay, stay with me now. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Notice that first word in 1 Timothy 5, 17. What's that first word? Let. Isn't that a word that automatically denotes submission? If I'm letting someone go first, I'm yielding to them.
Right.
In other words, when we both come out, you know, come out onto the own ramp and we're both trying to get in the same lane at the same time, someone's going to have to let the other person go first.
Right.
Or there's going to be a big mess.
That's right.
Right? Something bad's going to happen. So the Bible says, let, verse 17, allow, if you will, the elders that rule well, there it is again, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word. There's that word, work, labor in the word and doctrine. Laboring because he's investing in you, investing in feeding you and helping you grow. For the scripture saith, this God that says this, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, let me say this quickly. The scripture says this, it's not what I say. This is probably the hardest, most awkward thing to ever preach about. Because without a doubt, inevitably, somebody out there is sitting there thinking, wow, he's sitting around here telling us that we ought to, you know, worship him. No, this is not worship at all. If that's your idea, you're missing it completely. This is not worship. This is you submitting to God's way.
Amen.
Now listen, it says that this is that they are to be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor, and then not muzzling the ox that treadeth out the corn. When you muzzle an ox, he's the one that's working so you can eat.
Right.
Right? The ox is pulling that plow and he's busting his back and he's pulling that plow day after day after day and he's treading out that corn and he's working that field so you can eat.
Yep.
And then you go stick a muzzle on him. So he can't eat. God forbid. That's what God says. God says, thou shalt not do that. This is not talking about worship. But this is talking about wages.
Amen.
Folks, this is talking about money.
Amen.
Go ahead. I'm not talking about anybody giving up something that you wouldn't be willing to give up if you were making a wise investment. I'm talking about you understanding God's will. If a church is going to move forward, everybody has to invest in each other.
Right.
Look in 1 Corinthians 9. Okay. This is where it always gets quiet, amen. 1 Corinthians 9. That's okay. I'm investing in you. You decide whether or not you submit. That's the whole point. 1 Corinthians 9, by the way, an investment, a wise investment, always has very good returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, if you must, let me talk real quick. Let me just read here, and I'll go back. It'll say it again. I'm in a hurry, y'all. I'm trying to hurry up. But 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Verse 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? God said, listen, would you go out into a battle, amen, not having any supplies, any ammunition, any food, any armor? He says, no, that'd be crazy. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? That milk of the flock, folks, is money. Say I these things as a man, verse 8, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox of the mouth that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? If you muzzle an ox that treadeth out the corn, how long do you think he's going to be able to tread out that corn?
Yeah, yep.
If you don't let him eat, see, when you feed that ox, you're investing in him.
Right.
But you're also investing in yourself.
Right.
Because he's going to keep working to feed you.
Amen.
You see how this works?
Amen.
Look in verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. The Bible says, listen, a pastor that's treading out the corn and feeding the flock should not wonder whether his next meal is going to come from.
Right.
See, some of you are clamming up on me right now because you don't understand this. And that's why I said rebellion is the number one problem. I'm reading it to you straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read on though, okay? I'm not going to let you stop me, amen? Verse 11. If we have sown, I'm not even going to preach so much as teach, okay? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, that's feeding you. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things, money? See, what you think, and see, we have this problem. We think money is more important than the Word of God. We as Americans think, well, as long as I got my money, I'm okay. But God says, you're completely wrong.
Right.
You're living for the things that are temporal. I'm talking about things that are eternal. God says, if your pastor, your leader, is sowing spiritual giving, you are growing spiritually. Is it wrong for him to take things from you, carnal things that don't matter? In other words, you're getting the better end of that bargain.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But see, you don't see it that way. What happens is you sit there and think, who does he think he is?
Mom.
Why does he think he's going to get rich off my money? See, you're watching too much Benny Hinn.
Amen.
And Creflo Dollar.
Amen.
And all of those phony, baloney, false prophets.
Amen.
They're getting rich. They're flying off in their big airplanes. They're manipulating and making merchandise of people. That yes, they are.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people have completely gone away from God's way of the church, of being a good, better church that glorifies God. Verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. What Paul is saying is, you're not paying me a dime. But I'm still preaching to you. I'm still loving you. I'm still teaching you. I'm still feeding you. And because, again, it's an investment that the preacher makes. Regardless of what the congregation does. Verse 13, do you not know how they which minister about holy things live? Listen now, look. Live at the things of the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained. That word means ordered, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you see that, right?
Yes, sir.
That it says the Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Yeah.
Curtis Hudson was a young pastor in Georgia years ago. He's dead now. And he tells the story of when his church first started, that there wasn't any money to speak of as far as the offerings go. He was a mailman. He carried the mail full time. That was his income when he first started the church. And he put a little box in the back. And he said, okay, that whatever comes in that box, me and my family are going to use to live off of from this church. Now, the mailman thing, he quit that. He put a little box in the back and said, okay, I'm going to go full time and we're going to build this church for the glory of God. He put a little box back there and said, whatever comes in that box, me and my family are going to live off of.
Amen.
Now, the church began to grow. God began to honor. And he, of course, it was very meager. Those little offerings in that little box were sometimes pocket change.
Yeah.
That was all he had. But then as the church began to grow, amen, those offerings began to grow. And those offerings began to get pretty sizable. And then the deacons came to and said, Pastor, I think we need to go ahead and give you a salary. You know, because we don't know, that's unstable, that box back there. And he said, well, that sounds like a good idea. But then he began to realize, man, after that salary, I realized some of those, can we go back to the box? Because people were doing it out of a heart, amen, out of a desire to love their pastor and to provide for their pastor. Now listen, that's not necessarily biblical. It's just a neat story that church was flourishing, that church flourished, and that church is nothing now. He died and everything else went with him because nobody understands understood what I'm telling you, but understand something. The Lord has ordained this.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's supposed to be, folks. Not because somebody's trying to take your money, but because God knows that when we invest in each other like this, it will make the church go in the direction it's supposed to go. See, submission on both of our parts, submitting to God and His ministry, living off of the gospel according to God's will.
Amen.
And then you submitting to God's will. And see, well, how do we know to pay you? It's not about you paying me extra. It's not what I'm talking about. It's talking about you giving what you're supposed to give in the offering every single time you have an increase.
Amen.
And then God will provide through that for his man, his preacher.
Amen.
See, it's not about you taking money out of your pocket and giving it to me in my hand and saying, here, preacher, this is for you. No. That causes all kinds of awkwardness, all kinds of problems. This is about us doing it through the offering plates, through the preaching, through the services of God. It's about you honoring the biblical leadership that God's given you. It's not anything but good for you and for me and for God's glory. That's what this is all about. See, investing, the follower invests in submitting to biblical leadership, okay? Submitting it to his leadership. And that goes for everything, by the way. The time of the service.
Yeah.
The time the service starts. If you're submissive, you'll be here on time.
Amen.
The days of the service that we have, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're submissive, you'll be here.
Amen.
Amen. Sunday school teachers, choir singers, you submit to a dress code.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. See, you submit to the leadership that God's given you because it's what God wants you to do, and you're making an investment in your church.
Amen.
Listen, there was a visitor here last week. He's not here tonight. We have some other returning visitors, but there was a visitor here last week who had never been here on a Wednesday night before. And he came in at like 6:40, and there was not one soul here until like 2 minutes till 7.
Yep, that's right.
He's not back.
Nope.
I mean, what does that say to a visitor? Well, man, the old church members don't even think enough to be here on time.
Oh, great.
Folks, listen, I understand work. I understand whatever else you might say is your problem, your reason. But you don't understand. You've got to make investments in your church in order to get returns.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
See, so do we have to have church 3 times a week, preacher? Come on, is that necessary? If you're submissive, it is.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
And see, I'm not being ugly. Don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to get you to see why God put this here. I'm trying to get you to see the problem in so many churches is rebellion.
Right.
You say, well, I'll go when I want to go. I'll go when I want to go. I'll be there when I want to get there. Where do you find that being what God wants? Show me that in here somewhere. Okay, you can. I mean, obviously, again, you have to submit yourself. I'm not going to come over and twist your arm, but I'm going to preach the Bible to you and tell you we could have a better church. We could have a more vibrant church if people were more excited about church. But I'm just trying to help you. If our people were more excited about church, a visitor that came in might catch that fire a little bit. But when you don't creep in here till like 2 minutes after seven, he's thinking, well, they're real excited about church. Folks, it is important that we submit ourselves. You need to submit to biblical leadership, show honor to biblical leadership, and by the way, strengthen, all of this strengthens biblical leadership. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All of this strengthens your biblical leadership. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. And we beseech you, I hear pages, I'll leave you some time. I'll give you some time. I want you to see it. And we beseech you. Now, that word beseech is a strong word. It's almost like he's down on his knees and saying, we are pleading with you. That's what it says. We beseech you, brethren. He's talking to Christians.
Amen.
You, to know them which labor among you. Labor, there's that word again. And are over you. Notice, in the Lord. This is all in the Lord's will. To know them and that labor and are over you in the Lord. And to admonish means to correct you. To rebuke you and to tell you, hey, that's not right. Which, by the way, which is what I just did a minute ago. But instead of getting quiet and angry, you're supposed, the Bible says, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love because they're so handsome, because they're so witty. No. Look what it says. For their work's sake, because they are investing in you. Because they are investing in you, helping you, wanting to help you anyway, be a better Christian. Have more character, more discipline, more desire, more fire, more zeal, more understanding, growing in grace and knowledge. It says there, esteem them. That means simply to respect them. To know them, to spend time with them, to get to know their hurts and their heartaches and their joys and their laughter, to spend time with them. Then it says there to esteem them, amen, for their work's sake, to appreciate them, respect them, pray for them.
Amen.
See, all of this strengthens your leadership.
That's right.
Because look what it says, and verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. Wow. When there's a peaceful spirit of unity, amen, in the church,
amen.
Everybody in one accord,
yep.
Amen. Everybody in the unity of the Holy Spirit, then there's peace. And you understand, that's when church is really good.
Amen.
When there's peace and there's liberty and the Holy Spirit's able to use the Word of God and help us and correct us and build us up and strengthen us. When there's peace is when there's unity and when everybody is investing in each other properly.
Amen.
Go back to Hebrews 13 and I'm done. Verse 17 again. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For notice, here's the reason. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account.
Yeah.
It says here that they may do it with what?
Joy.
See, when we submit, when we invest in each other, I need to pray more for you. I need to study more. I need to grow in my understanding. I need to be a better Bible scholar. Not so I can beat myself on the chest. Not so I can brag about how much I know, but so that I can feed you more nourishing meals. And then when you invest and I invest, see, then there's joy. Joy. There's peace and there's joy. However, look at the flip side. That they may do it with joy, not with grief. There are countless number of pastors who are no longer pastoring, who have resigned their pastorate, and I know some of them, and I won't mention their names, it doesn't matter, but, and I've asked them, I said, well, what about pastoring another church, or what about pastoring again, and here's what more than one of them said, I don't have the patience for that. I don't have the patience for that anymore. I can't handle that anymore. It's not that they don't have the patience to study the Bible or to invest in their people or to be live off the gospel. It's just that there's so much grief.
Yeah.
The word grief there carries with it the meaning of groaning. Groaning up at night. Can't sleep. Now, I'm not talking about me necessarily, but I am talking about the ministry. And it should never be like that. It should never be like that. It's only like that when there's rebellion. Romans 8:23, just listen, it says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what that word grief means, groaning within themselves. It's a burden that you can't understand without being a pastor. I'm not talking about you coming to me and counseling and asking for advice on things to do and desiring advice and as a faithful, submissive church. I'm talking about you just continually fighting the program. Now, that's not happening around here, but it sure has. And it sure can again. Because it's human nature. You see, there should, listen, the house of God was intended to be a place of peace and joy.
Amen.
And growth and strength. But it's not what it should be when we don't invest in each other. See, every investment has a return, right?
Amen.
And we invest in each other like we're supposed to, there's peace and joy.
Amen.
There's power of God here. There's the presence and the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In unity. But when you go home talking about the preacher and what the preacher said and how come he said that, and listen, I can't change you. But it's obvious that you don't understand the point behind the church. The whole it is not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about us investing in each other so we can get the return that we should have in joy and peace. However, listen now. It says in the end of verse 17, it may be done with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The word unprofitable there means damaging. Now listen, it has physical damage. spiritual and eternal losses. When you make investments, you get returns. But if you fail to invest, guess what you lose? You lose the return that you would have had.
Right?
But, I mean, just logically speaking. So a person that will not invest in their church the way God wants them to invest, they just won't get on board. They just won't get plugged in and say, okay, I'm going to stop fighting this. It causes grief. It does. But the loss is yours. Physical, spiritual. Some people never grow. I wonder why that is. This is it right here. Because they just won't submit to God's plan. Physical, spiritual, and listen, eternal. There's a judgment seat. And God says, it's unprofitable for you. Oh, he's not going to have joy, and the church won't have the peace, and there'll be grief in his heart, but the loss of rewards is yours. And see, dearly beloved, I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. So he's established a way to prove your heart. I remember days, listen, when I sit where you sit, and I heard my pastor preach something, and boy, my pride got all bent out of shape. That's God saying, hey boy, this is a test. And you know, I could have gone right out the door. I could have gotten all bitter and sour. And sometimes I did. But thank God it didn't last. Thank God, God got a hold of my heart and said, that ain't right. That's not what you want. That's not what God wants. That's not what your pastor wants. That's not the way things should be. There should be joy and peace. Listen, don't worry about changing your leader. God will take care of that. You worry about just investing in your church. Let there be joy. Let there be peace like God wants there to be.
Amen.
I promise you, as God is my witness, and all of you who are here, that I will never cease to invest in you by God's grace. As long as I can, as long as God allows me to, I will not cease to invest in you. That's my word to you. Now, that doesn't mean anything, I know, but the problem, the thing that I'm just trying to be accountable to you and accountable to God. I will continue, amen. Like I said, I will continue to not take the leadership lightly. I will continue to rightly watch and pray for you. I will continue to work so you can be fed. I will continue to willingly do it no matter what, amen, comes in the offering plates. I will continue to, by the grace of God, lead an exemplary life. Not a perfect life, you understand that. But try to be an example. And then, dearly beloved, if you'll just understand that's what God has designed for his church to be, and turn around and you just submit to the biblical leadership and honor and show honor through that and strengthen him and his family, understand something. There can be so much more power of God here than you have ever imagined. You know, listen to me. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be finished. You know why so many churches are turning to rock and roll music? You know why so many churches are turning to all kinds of weird Bibles? And know why so many churches are letting down all of their standards? No more, listen, don't worry about all that separation stuff. Let's just let the world in the church, and let's just let the world fill the church so we can reach the next generation. You know why they're doing that? Because they're tired of the grief.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the people in the pews are rebelling against their leadership, and they've given up.
Come on, that's right.
I know some of them. That ought never be. That's not God's will. That's not my will. I don't think that's your will. But if you don't submit yourself, then you're causing problems.
Right.
Don't, it, again, God is the Lord of the flock. But God has designed this thing the way He wanted it to be. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight. I love You, Lord, and I love Your plan, Your design for Your church.